The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFosse Corporation, LLC.
I believe and I know so strongly that we are beings that live in bodies, and bodies come and go, but you can't kill a soul. Growing up in Wisconsin was great. I just had a ton of freedom and I had a lot of space. We had a farm and we always had 4 or 5 horses, and I'm the last of 3. And my dad and I we just kind of understood each other. And we also liked to go and we liked to do things. We liked to be active. My dad was a big John Wayne kind of guy, very salt of the earth. We used to shoot skeet and trap. He had so many guns, you know, old handguns and shotguns. We were always shooting tin cans off of the fence post. It's great because you can, there's a little delay and then you hear the ping.
Fire. And you did it!
So I had a ton of fun with my dad. My dad would often be sitting there in his lazy boy type chair with his highball of scotch, clinking the ice, watching John Wayne movies. He knew everything there was to know about these old West guns and John Wayne. He always knew which movies had made a mistake on the wrong gun. We watched John Wayne together through, you know, me being a kid, a little kid, and then by high school, it just kind of seemed sweet, like that was Dad. I had been in L.A. for about 10 years, and I'm working on a TV show. My dad and I would always talk on the phone, often on Sundays. I remember my dad saying that he had found a lump. Those 3 words together, we all know, are pretty scary. And they found out that it was melanoma. My parents decided that he would be treated in Santa Monica. So my parents came out and lived with me a week every month for 2 years. It was interesting having him with me in California because I had been on my own for a while and supporting myself, but somehow those patterns between dad and daughter just set. When he was sick, we watched the John Wayne movies a lot. We had so many lovely moments and bonding. It never occurred to me that he could die. I came home from working on a TV show. So it's just a day like any other day. And you know, just click play on the machines. And there's a message that says, "Hey, honey, I'm sorry to leave this on your machine. But your dad collapsed. And he's in the hospital. And the cancer spread to his brain, and we're not sure if he'll live till tomorrow." And then he died. When he died, something left, and it was dramatic. My relationship to life had changed. I didn't like that we couldn't communicate anymore. I just hated being separate. After a few months, I found myself driving down the street. I kind of took a different route, and I saw this beautiful, fairly big house. And there was a for sale sign. I'm not really looking for a house, but the door was open. So I stopped.
Hello?
And I walked inside and I thought, oh, wow, nice big room. You know, I could hang a lot of art on the wall. It is kind of neat.
Oh, hi.
The housekeeper comes out, and I said, oh, hi, I was just in the neighborhood, I don't know. And she said, well, thank you, come back to the open house next week. Oh, okay.
Sure, no problem, I was just stopping by on that.
And I hear, hold on a minute. Coming towards me, this big, huge figure, and he's got the swagger when he gets into the light. For one second, I'm thinking, I've truly lost my mind, because that's John Wayne. And right when he walked in closer, the housekeeper introduces me to Michael Wayne. So it's John's son. And said, she wants to buy your house. And I'm like, I do.
I do.
It turns out that it was John Wayne and Josephine Wayne's house. Immediately, Michael says, oh, I'm not handling any of that. I go, oh, okay, that's fine. I don't even know this house. But I see a gun on the wall. And then we started talking about which movie that gun was in, a John Wayne movie. And I'm like, I know that movie. And we went back and we started talking about the searchers. And in a little bit of time, he goes,
wow.
You know what? This house is yours. You can have it.
You can have the house. And I said, did I just buy a house? And he said,
you did.
3 weeks later, I picked up the keys to the new house, and then I started moving in. There was so much incredible coincidence and synchronicity about this house and my dad and John Wayne and Michael Wayne, and now I'm in this house. And it seemed to be also so ironic that the one person who would have appreciated it the most wasn't there. After moving into the house, I had this horrible insomnia, and I really had a massively hard time falling asleep before the sun would come up. And so at night, I'd always take baths. And I would sit in there and just keep running the hot water for hours, and I would talk to my dad. I kind of missed that conversation, that feeling that somebody on earth sees you and gets you. That went on for, I think it was a few months of talking to the air and hoping to get some response.
But we miss you, Dad. Think about you all the time.
One day, I was outside gardening just like every day. And I would go until it got too dark to see. And then I would go around and make sure I hadn't left out any lawn tools. So I was out far back in the yard, and I picked up stuff, and I looked up at the house. And I saw, walking through the den, a man. And then there's a space of wall. And then there's another window. My heart stopped, and I just stood there absolutely frozen. There's just something about it that is not, it's not an intruder. And my instant thought was, just Dad. That was his size and his walk and his gait. And then I saw him go into the kitchen and disappear. I wanted so badly to just run into the house and go, Dad! And then the other side of me was petrified. I was walking towards the house and opening that door, just wondering, am I going to open the door and be face to face with my dad in ghost form? There's nothing in life that can prepare me for that. And I looked in the kitchen, nobody there. I walked through the house with my heart pounding, I can't even tell you. And I, you know, looked in each room, and it felt to me like he's probably still right here. I just, for some reason, couldn't see him. Not long after that, I wanted to just see if there was another way to verify what I thought happened, and somebody suggested the psychic. She was in an apartment on the second floor of this kind of rundown building. And so I went up there and I told her my dad died and I just wanted to know how he was. She said, he loves my house. And I hadn't mentioned to her that I got this house. And she said that he's been watching me and he's been hanging around me there and he just loves it. And then she said, he really loves when you talk to him.
I feel like you're in this house with me.
And that was so specific. That was the moment that somebody verified for me, you know, what I was feeling and what I thought. To have this person say to me, he's in your house. What you are imagining you're perceiving, and he is hearing you talk to him, it just gave me that connection back, that it didn't have to be something that ended and was in my past. It wasn't now something wonderful that was over. It was something that continues, probably forever.
Don't call me by my name.
Hi, this is Cheyenne Clark, author of Voice in the Dark, lead paranormal investigator for Voices in the Dark, and you're listening to the Real Paranormal Activity podcast with my dear friend Aaron Hunter.
Welcome, I'm Aaron Hunter, purveyor of paranormal stories, the occult, and the unexplained. Welcome to RPA. I hope you enjoy your stay. Hey guys, Aaron here, and it is Monday, February 12th, 2024, episode 314. How's everyone out there around the world doing? And man, always glad to be back in the hot seat. Announcements. Yeah, there's not too much to announce. Everything's smooth going. Nothing to complain about. Although, we had some nice weather over the weekend. You know, upper 50s, even hit 60. It didn't feel like winter, but guess what? A whole new cold front came through. Starting today, and it looks like the East Coast is going to get hammered with snow. In the Northeast, though, they're going to get hammered. About a foot of snow overnight. Yeah, they just got hammered about 2 weeks ago. I feel sorry for those guys. But yeah, no snow for us. a little bit more chilly. It's down into the upper 20s at night now. So yeah, it looks like the spring weather went away. But yeah, spring's on its way. And what else? Tomorrow, Tuesday, is a brand new episode of Aaron's Horror Show with Mr. Aaron Frell. And also Wednesday, a brand new episode of Terry's Mysterious Moments will be coming out as well. And as always, Friday, two new short films will be released. And this past Friday, if you haven't checked it out, go to realparanormalactivity.com or use the free RPA app and check out the two new short films that were released. Yeah, they're great. You'll love them. Trust me. And so with that, you guys know what that means. Oh yeah, we're going to do more listener stories yet again. Even though we're getting a lot of requests to do some interviews, I'm going to stay away from interviews for a little while now, but I'll get back into it. I'm just really liking these listener stories, and we have a huge backlog, so we're putting a good dent into it. And as far as you new guys out there, if you have an experience you want to share, just send it to Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at realparanormalactivity.com, and I'll read it off on a future episode. So yeah, let's get the show on the road, shall we? And you guys know what that means. Oh yeah, man, come on, say it with me. That's right, say it with me. Two, the story den, follow me right this way. No pushing, no shoving, and the fires are still going. Nice and toasty in here. And you guys know the deal. Grab a beanbag over there in the corner, find an empty spot on the floor, and as you guys are doing that, I am, as usual, getting behind my desk here, getting comfy. And I printed off Britt's packet from the email. Thank you, Britt, if you're listening. And let's see what stories she picked out. All right. And then we got a small one, a medium one, and a large one. Let me take a sip of my green tea real quick. Oh, man. So good when it hits the lips, I tell you. All right. The first one. This one is by Mandy, and it's titled Past Life Memories. Okay, Mandy, let's see what you got, man. My daughter, Sarah, now 16, has startled me with comments and remarks that make no sense in regards to what is currently happening in our lives. One that I remember clearly is this incident. We were in the car, and Sarah, age 3 years old, sat in her car seat in the back and listened, entranced, to the song by Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. Anyone who has heard him knows he has a very distinctive voice. As soon as the song was over, she promptly announced, Mama, did you know my voice sounded just like that a long time ago when I was a man? Remember, she was 3 when this happened, so I literally have no clue where it came from. She was hardly more than a toddler. So I just said, okay, well, that's nice. Later that day, when I had a bit more time to process the information, I slowly brought up that subject again. She immediately said, yes, I sounded like that man when I talked, but I didn't have time to sing. We were running too fast, and then Nanny fell down. Jack ran back to help her before the fire got her, but we didn't see them no more. We don't know a Nanny or a Jack. I was speechless for a moment before she continued. I don't know why them people were screaming so loud. The fire was behind us. Do you think maybe there was another fire up there with them? I agreed with her that maybe there were 2 fires and asked what happened to Nanny and Jack. She said, I told you already that I don't know. We didn't see them no more. She seemed a bit sad, so I shut my mouth and told her to go on and play. And later, when I peeked in at her, she was telling her pillow that she missed Jack. I did my best to distract her and never brought it up again, and neither has she. I don't know if she remembers it or not. I'm almost afraid to ask. And thanks for the weird and strange. And man, that's from Mandy. Mandy, thank you very much for sharing. I loved it. Yeah, this is one of my favorite subject matters in the paranormal field is reincarnation. And there's very few stories about, you know, reincarnation, which in itself is kind of interesting. You would think it would be all over the place, right? Billions and billions and trillions of people have died. But you only get like a handful of stories of these children that are talking about things that they shouldn't have information about. But then again, you don't know who's writing these stories, if they're credible or not, if it's just made up. So, you know, that's the problem, too. It's not like a reputable, news outlet of some sort did some investigation. It's just from something or some organization that you never heard of. So that's a problem. But it is interesting. Interesting stuff. And again, you know, I always like to debunk stuff. It's quite possible. You know, kids are creepy. You old-timers know that. I say it all the time. They're just creepy. And they make up stories, you know, for whatever reason. But it's usually stories that, that are kind of either imaginary friend, and they're pretending to talk and play with them in the room alone. You know, it's just one of those things. And but this seems a little bit more, what's the word? More dark. Looks like in the past life, trying to escape a fire, Nanny and Jack got engulfed in it, or they never saw him again in that past life. So, yeah, kind of gruesome. Interesting, though. Yeah, Mandy, thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, it makes you think a little bit. Yeah, reincarnation. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, what's next? What do we got?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This one is by Storm, and it's titled, Liked to Annoy Him. Okay, Storm, let's see what you got, man. My maternal grandmother was a wonderful woman who I was very close to. She was smart, stubborn, and funny. Honestly, she could be a bit of a handful. I just loved her to pieces. Her and my father, however, did not get along quite so well. Although, they did have a genuine affection for each other. Their personalities didn't mix well, and they got on each other's nerves. Often, I think she would intentionally bug him, just for the sheer enjoyment of it. When my grandmother became ill with cancer, the family rallied around her, and when it became clear she would not recover, family members began gathering at her home to say their goodbyes, assist with her care, and help her die peacefully and surrounded by loved ones. After she had passed, a few family members took small items from the home that brought them comfort. When you are deeply grieving, it can be strange what becomes meaningful to you. For my mother, it was a coffee mug and a small porcelain knick-knack that had a motion detector in it, so that it would play, "You Are My Sunshine," when activated. My grandmother had kept it in her small bathroom, positioned so it would play whenever someone would enter the room. As far as I can recollect, it always worked just as expected. When we returned home, my mother placed it in the window above her kitchen sink. That's when it started behaving erratically. Instead of being triggered by motion, it seemed to be triggered by certain activities. Arriving home, going to bed, getting up in the morning. It felt very much as if my grandmother was saying, "Hello, good night, good morning." It became something we expected, and we'd even reply appropriately when it played its little tune. "Hi, Grandma. Good night, Grandma. Love you, Grandma." One day, the little knick-knack stopped working altogether. My mom was understandably very distressed by this, and my father responded by doing everything he could to try and fix the little gadget. He worked on it for quite some time, but eventually had to give up, apologetic and quite frustrated. He put it back together and set it back in its place on the window. No sooner had he turned his back to walk away than the silly little thing started playing again. I know that someone more cynical than myself would chalk this up to coincidence and a cheap knick-knack. Maybe that's true. For us, though, we have no doubt it was my grandmother taking one last opportunity to push my father's buttons. Thank you. And that's from Storm. Storm loved it. Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, it's a feel-good story. Yeah, they rubbed each other wrong, but they really cared for each other, and Grandma liked to, screw around with your dad. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It wasn't turning on by motion. You know, like you said, you guys would just be doing something, walking in, leaving, and it would just turn on by itself. Yeah, it's a good story. I liked it. Yeah, thanks again. Yeah, you have stories like that all the time where children's toys, right? They either don't have batteries in them, or they do have batteries, but the batteries are dead. But, you know, they would turn on in the middle of the night and just wake up the small children or wake you up in the middle of the night. Yeah, you know, we get those every once in a while where something electronic would just turn on by itself, you know, whether it's toys or TV or stereo, that sort of thing. Yeah. All right. What's next? What do we got? This one is by Riggs, and it's titled Mother's Kiss. Okay, Riggs, let's see what you got, man. It was August 1981 when my telephone rang. It was my brother-in-law calling to tell me my 66-year-old mother had been found down and unresponsive on her front lawn. An ambulance had taken her to the local hospital in Detroit, Michigan. Within an hour, a second call confirmed her death. I quickly made ready to travel, and in a few hours, I was driving to Detroit from Washington, D.C. A John Denver tune played in my head. Something about some days being diamond, others stone. This day was clearly stone, and I don't remember much about the trip. I think I drove all night. My younger brother had lived with her, a Vietnam War veteran. He stayed in her home partly out of convenience, partly to watch over her. It was he who discovered her in the front yard, then gave her CPR without success. I found him partially unhinged. I thought the experience had been too much, which seemed reasonable. The unexpected death of a loved one is indeed difficult. He faulted himself for not saving her, which added guilt to loss. It was not her death which had disturbed him so, though that clearly had a real impact on his emotional state. "She's still here," he said. This is what troubled him so. I fully believed him. My mother was an exceptional psychic and deeply spiritual. A day or two before her passing, she called to tell me goodbye, though I did not know it at the time. Her conversation with me was a bit cryptic, and I found it frustrating. Her words became all too clear after her death. My mother had a behavior that had become her hallmark. She would stand at the kitchen sink doing dishes ever so slowly as she stared out the window, her mind in another place. We could hear the silverware being washed and dried, tinkling, clicking and clattering. It took the longest to do for some reason, and I think she enjoyed it. Perhaps she found it relaxing. Many, many hours had passed this way in our house. That hallmark behavior was apparently still alive. Our bathroom shared a common wall with the kitchen, with that wall located just to the left of the kitchen sink. When we lounged in a hot bath, relaxing our cares away, we could clearly hear the silverware being washed and dried. That sound was unmistakable. That very sound was heard by my brother as he bathed in that tub the day my mother died. She passed about midday or early in the afternoon, and her body was in the hospital morgue. He bathed in the late evening. It was the sound of rattling silverware that turned death into a haunting experience. When my brother told me he heard the silverware, I had no doubt that my mother was still in the house. My wife, our two young children, and myself spent that first night in one of the house's two bedrooms. I don't recall if it was her room. I was very tired. During the night, my wife woke me. There was fear in her voice, though not great fear. "Your mother just kissed me," she said. "On the forehead, just like she always does.
Again, I did not doubt it. My wife's emotional state made clear she believed my mother kissed her. You see, my mother worked in a hospital and was fearful of passing on contagious illnesses to her family. When she kissed someone, it was always on the forehead. My mother often kissed my wife and children on their foreheads. My mother and I did not have a relationship that included kissing. That she kissed my wife and not me was our family norm. No more was heard from my mother, and there was no continued haunting. That kiss was a mother's goodbye. Love the stories. And that's from Riggs. Oh, man, I loved it. Thank you very much for sharing, Riggs. You know, another feel-good story. Yeah, I love it. And, yeah, we get this all the time. You know, loved ones, friends, coming back to visit every once in a while and then leave, or maybe hang around sometimes for whatever reason, and then all of a sudden it just stops. Yeah, odd stuff. Yeah, this isn't really unique, and, yeah, we get a lot of these stories. Yeah, Riggs, thank you very much for sharing. Loved it. And that is it, guys. That's all the stories that Britt sent us. And as always, I'm flattered that you come over to the RPA Network, and hopefully you guys are enjoying yourselves and finding something that you like with the videos and the movies and the podcasts. And as always, just a friendly reminder, you can always go to realparanormalactivity.com or use the free RPA app. If you don't have it, just go to your app store and do a search for Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast network, and download it for free. Stream anytime, anywhere. And also, we're on something like 33 plus different platforms out there, streaming platforms like Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc., etc., etc. So if you're out and about listening to your favorite top 40 music or whatever you're listening to, just do a search for us, Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast network, and we're probably on that platform. So if you want to get your spook on during the day, if you're in the office working, and you just want to listen to some ghost stories, there you go. And with that, I am calling it. The show's been produced by myself and Britt, and is also made possible by LaFosse Corporation and Matt. We love you guys. Oh, yeah, we do. As always, thank you and good night.
Yeah.